money.
Quickly to Wall. Wall measures. Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
They don't have any time.
Here comes Pierce with 5 seconds left. Pierce with three. Pierce with two. Pierce all the way at the horn. It's good!
Morris, Wall, Beal, and Gortat.
Porter can't find anybody. He gives it to Wall. Harden gets Bradley for three. John Wall! Oh, what a shot!
You talk about a pressure shot.
Hey, welcome to Locked On Wizards, streaming on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net station. I'm your host, Noah Getzel. And the Wizards sure are blooming right about now, huh? Losing 8 of the last 12. And this gruesome one to the Knicks here Sunday night. And that was just embarrassing. Anyway, today we're talking about the Wizards matchup, matching their longest losing streak of the season, 3 games, after letting their former reserve point guard Trey Burke, who's probably hyped up after Michigan's Final Four berth on Saturday. He destroyed the Wizards. He hit the game-winning and-one layup with like 30 seconds to go, scored a game-high 19 points, and the Knicks beat the Wizards in D.C. 101-97. Our Bryna Kramer is going to recap that game for you coming up in just a second. Also coming up on today's show, I did an interview on Sunday with Josh Lloyd, who hosts the Locked On NBA podcast from time to time, so you'll hear that, and we talked about John Wall's return and the Wizards' lack of productivity at center position, which will definitely be a point issue of concern come playoff time, if the Wizards are in the playoffs. So before we get started, I wanted to let you know that you can listen to Locked On Wizards show here on Dash Radio every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday at 9 p.m. 8 Central, and you can also find the podcast, Locked On Wizards podcast, every Monday through Friday. You can listen on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, LockedOnWizards.com. There's a new podcast site called Locked On Sports where you can find everything baseball, basketball, whichever team you're interested in. You can find it all there. And then, of course, you can find us on Twitter and a bunch of other places. Anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find Locked On Wizards. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which features your team's daily experts every day. And once again, I'm Noah Getzel, beat reporter for Wizards Extra, a blog that covers the Wizards. We have, I'm there every home game, along with Bryna Kramer, who's another Wizards Extra reporter. You'll hear from her in just a second. We're at all the home games, and I have covered the Wizards with Wizards Extra for 4 seasons now, and we do a lot of articles, pregame, postgame interviews with players, Twitter coverage, and videos to recap the games, and a lot more. So definitely check us out. That's Wizards Extra, new E, just X-T-R-A on Twitter. You can follow me at Noah _ Getzel, G-O-E. T-Z-E-L, and finally you can follow Bryna, who you're going to hear from right now, at Bryna K 13, BRYNAK 13. So with no further ado, here is Bryna talking about the Wizards' weird loss to the lottery-bound Knicks, who had 8 players in double figures, and you're going to hear from her right after a word from our sponsor.
Welcome back to the Locked On Wizards podcast. I'm Bryna Kramer, beat reporter for Wizard Extra, and usually when you hear me, I'm accompanying host Noah Getzel after a game. But tonight, I'm flying solo for this segment as I take you through the Wizards' 101-97 loss against the New York Knicks. Tonight marked the 3rd straight loss for the Wizards and puts them in 6th place in the Eastern Conference, and they have currently a 40-33 record. So tonight was a really odd loss, and you could even argue that it was one of their worst losses of the season. And by odd, I really just kind of mean that it was really just all over the place. There's not really one word I would use to describe it, except, I mean, like I said, it's odd. Like, it was really all over the place. But the Wizards were able to start off, you know, playing decent defense. They held the Knicks to just 19 points in the first quarter, but then things started to unravel. They slipped up in the second quarter and allowed the Knicks to score 42 points, which Bradley Beal was saying after the game that, you know, that's simply just unacceptable. They picked up the defense again in the third quarter, and they only allowed 16 points, but then they let it slip again in the final 12 minutes and allowed 24 points. And the Wizards just really couldn't find their shot tonight, and, you know, at times it made this game really hard to watch, if I'm being honest. They had 21 points in the first quarter, so after first quarter they were leading. Then they had just 32 points in the second. They had 18 in the third quarter and 26 in the fourth. So they only connected on 42.5% of their shot attempts from the field. Bradley Beal finished for 5 for 17. Otto Porter was 5 for 13. And Kelly Oubre was 6 from 14. They were also just 31.6% from 3 at the end of the night, which is better than the Knicks' 27.3%, but still isn't great for a team who, coming into tonight, was 4th in the league for the entire season from three with 37.5. So that's not a good look for us tonight. There are also just too many times to count when Washington blew, you know, several opportunities to take over the lead. All of this really comes down to a lot is a lack of urgency. And this is something that, you know, if you pay any kind of attention to the Wizards, which I'm sure you're due if you're listening to this podcast, but it really is just something that's followed the Wizards all season long. And I, you know, it's really hard to say there's nothing they can really pinpoint it down to, but it's just something that's followed them all season long. And Tomas Satoransky said after the game, you know, "I think we looked like we were waiting for John Wall to come back and change everything, playing like we did the first game he was missing. That's not the right way to do it. We have to go out there and play as hard as we can every game." And, you know, this is very true. I mean, John Wall is expected to make his return very soon. He participated in his first practice on Saturday since his procedure at the end of January. But the Wizards, you know, like Thomas was just saying, you know, said in this quote, you know, the Wizards can't continue to use that as an excuse. They've lost that adrenaline and that sense of urgency that they played, you know, with when Wall first went down. I mean, you know, they were doing really well, you know, when John first went down. You know, they had that everybody eats mentality, and, you know, they won, I think it was 9 of 12 games. 9 of 12 games. But, you know, now they've lost that. You know, Beal said after the game, you know, he's like, "We acted like we didn't give a damn, honestly. We thought that we could just show up and play because they don't have anything to play for. We just thought it was going to be a cakewalk, and they just smacked us in the mouth." I mean, you know, Bradley Beal is always honest. He's always really good with the media, and, you know, he doesn't hold back. And, yeah, that's what they looked like tonight. They looked like they thought it was going to be a cakewalk. They thought they were going to get their win. You know, they should have won on Friday night against the Denver Nuggets, and they let that game slip away from them. And, you know, they thought that they were like, "Oh, yeah, it's against the Knicks." You know, currently the Knicks are out of playoff contention. But, yeah, and so they were like, you know, "We already have – they haven't clinched yet, but, you know, they thought – they were like, "We're in the playoffs, and, you know, we can just come in and beat the Knicks easily." And the Knicks didn't let them do that. And, yeah, so I think the fact that Bradley Beal said, you know, they smacked us in the mouth, that's kind of what it looked like out there. You know, and as fans and spectators, you know, I don't really know what they can do to quote-unquote fix this lack of urgency, but they need to really figure it out what it is during these next 4 or 5 games, which is going to be crucial because these next 4 or 5 games are against teams that are currently under 500. These are really crucial games, especially as we're trying to work on our seeding for playoffs and, you know, try to – first of all, we have to clinch the playoffs. We haven't done that yet. We're one of the very few teams in the Eastern Conference that haven't, you know, because tonight the Pacers clinched, the Sixers clinched. So there's only a couple more spots left, and the Wizards are still fighting for that playoff spot, even though it's likely going to them, but they still haven't clinched it yet. But we really can't talk about tonight's Knicks and Wizards game without talking about newly minted Wizards killer Trey Burke. Yes, that Trey Burke, who was on our team just one season ago. The same Trey Burke who the Knicks kept over Ramon Sessions, who just recently signed a contract with the Wizards. And yes, that Trey Burke who Tim Frazier, who is not playing anymore because he's out of the rotation, was supposed to fill in for when we signed him this summer. Trey Burke had a game high 19 points and went 8 of 15 from the field. Yeah, just let that sink in. Game high 19 points. There were not many. I mean, I guess at the end of the game, there were a couple players for each team who scored in double figures, especially on the Knicks, and I've been looking at the box score. But for a while, Trey Burke was the only player in the entire game who had made it into double figures. I mean, he definitely was out there looking to have a little bit of a revenge game. I mean, he even had a moment in the final seconds of the game where he scored this kind of back-breaking layup and then looked to have flexed his arms towards the crowd. I mean, he definitely came into D.C. tonight looking more confident than honestly I ever saw him last season. And it's really easy to just say that, you know, why didn't Trey Burke look like this last season? I mean, it's very different situations. You know, the Wizards are a different team last season. We're a different team this season. And Trey Burke was never really going to find his way into the rotation last season. But, you know, it's kind of not hard to think about these things when he's out here looking like, I don't know, I mean, just this incredible player that we could have kept. You know, and after the game, he told reporters, you know, I try not to be emotional about it. You know, beating his old team, you know, I try not to be emotional about it. I think the beginning of the game, there were a few plays where it was a little out of characteristic for me that I was trying to be extra aggressive. Obviously, it's my old team coming back here, playing with these guys all last year, having a relationship with them. You want to do good. You want to win the game. I don't make it about me. We won the game, and that's the biggest thing. And speaking of, you know, the fact that the Knicks won the game and Trey Burke spoiled tonight. You know, this weekend was supposed to be a celebration of some of the best times in franchise history. You know, on Friday, the Wizards retired Phil Chenier's number 45 to the rafters. You know, Phil Chenier, living legend. That's what the players all call him, legend. And then during halftime of tonight's Knicks game, you know, they honored the entire 1978 championship team. And the surviving members of the team were on the court for a ceremony during halftime. And as someone who was there for both 19-0, in my opinion, the crowd seemed to love every second of it, and both halftime ceremonies provided a really nice break from what was happening on the court, which was losing basketball. You know, it was really nice to kind of forget about what was going on the court for, you know, a few minutes. But yeah, and I think, you know, it's hard, especially as fans, it's like this weekend was supposed to be this big celebration, and it ended up just getting spoiled, but you really can't take these were, you know, both halftime ceremonies were really special moments. And, you know, someone who not only covers the team, but is, you know, just a fan of basketball and a fan of this team, you know, it was really special to be a part of those, just, you know, a very small part and be in the arena for both of those nights. And so even though the Knicks win and the Denver Nuggets win on Friday night spoiled a little bit, you know, the weekend, you know, it was still very special. But so in terms of really what's to come, the Wizards just have 9 games left on their schedule, which is kind of crazy considering I feel like the season just started. But it also seems like the playoffs can't get here any faster. But as the playoffs, you know, get closer and closer, each game moving forward gets just that much more important, especially when it comes to the Wizards and for seeding's sake. You know, I saw a lot of talk on Twitter tonight during the game against the Knicks and afterwards about how, you know, the Wizards might as well just tank and get the 7th seed and try to match up with Boston in the first round, especially with Kyrie Irving likely to miss a good chunk of that first round. Listen, I mean, in my opinion, that's not a bad idea, but I think the Wizards are really truly better off going into the playoffs with as much confidence as possible and, you know, hopefully a good winning streak. Personally, I would love to hear your thoughts on this idea, so you can hit me up on Twitter at Bryna, Bryna, K13, or you can hit me up at our handle, Wizards Extra. That's Wizards XTRA. That's all I've got in terms of the Wizards Knicks recap, but remember, you're listening to Locked On Wizards on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net station, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Locked On Wizards. Once again, I'm your host, Noah Getzel, and we're on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net channel. You just heard from Wizards Extra reporter Bryna Kramer, who is awesome. She's with me just about every game at the Capital One Arena, and she recapped the Wizards-Knicks game, an awful loss for the Wizards, who have lost 3 straight now. Hopefully they'll get John Wall back as soon as possible. And to put things in perspective, here coming up now is my interview with Locked On Today's Locked On NBA podcast with Josh Lloyd. And one of the first things we talked about was John Wall's recovery, his impact on the team, kind of like the laughable notion that Washington might be better off without Wall. And perhaps even more laughable is the discussion of the Wizards' centers and how they possibly could hinder the Wizards in the playoffs, just like they did against the Celtics and Kelly Olynyk last year. So I'm going to roll that for you right now. Here's the interview with Josh Lloyd of Locked On NBA.
I'm joined now by the host of the Locked On Wizards podcast, Noah Getzel, and we're going to talk about this Washington Wizards team that's been, treading water would be the best way of putting it since John Wall had that knee surgery. But Noah, it looks like he's on the verge of coming back. How far away are we from John Wall actually returning to this lineup?
So it's not going to be this game against the Knicks here on Sunday, but probably, I don't know for sure, there's no set timetable. The coach said at practice, Scott Brooks said, in no time at all, so I assume that would be hopefully Tuesday against the Spurs, but I'm not too sure. He just played his first 5-on-5 scrimmage Saturday's practice, so he looks like his energy level is great. He's playing full contact practice. He seems like he should be good to go, and it's just injecting new life into the Wizards, who have now lost 4 of their last 6 games.
Well, look, in terms of the Eastern Conference playoffs, the teams are all basically locked in. Like the Pistons or the Hornets, they're not really jumping up, but it's all about, I guess, positioning for seeding. And the Wizards are 1.5 games back on the Pacers at the moment. They're 2 games back from Philadelphia from the 4 seed. So I think that might be a little bit tough for them to get back to, especially depending on when Wall returns. I guess the thing we need to know is are these remaining 10 games, if he actually plays in all these, nine or eight of these games, is it enough to get him back to full speed, especially with 3 sets of back-to-backs coming up? And Scott Brooks did say about a week ago that he was unlikely to play in both of those back-to-back games. Is that enough to get him up to full speed for a first-round series when they're going to be on the road for 4 of the 7 games?
Yeah, I mean, he'll be adjusting okay. And John Wall is not like, you know, typical humans. He's a superhuman, no doubt about it. And he definitely is the type of guy who can go from, you know, playing a couple of games, maybe let's say like 5 games of the remaining 10 for the Wizards. If he plays 5 of those games, even if he's playing 15, 20 minutes, I think he'll be good to go to play, you know, 30 to 35 range in that opening round of the playoffs and be working himself back into shape where he can go, you know, 35, 40 minutes in that the end of that opening round. And it's really looking not too good for the Wizards in terms of positioning right now, because if you're an Eastern Conference team, the last team you want to play in the past decade or so is a team featuring LeBron James. And they're, as you mentioned, 2.5 games back of the Pacers for that 5 spot to, you know, hopefully play either against the Pacers or the Sixers in the first round, which would be a much easier matchup than going against either the Cavs or, of course, the Celtics or Raptors, who have been crushing it. So obviously, they have some ground to make up, but the good news is that in the time that John Wall was out, the Wizards went 14-10, which is, you know, winning 58% of their games, and overall for the season, they're 40-32, which is 56%, so it's basically like no drop-off in the time that he was gone.
You heard whispers from people, probably not coming from Washington, that the Wizards were perhaps better without John Wall. There was those cryptic comments coming from some of the players, you know, Bradley Beal, saying how the ball was moving around more. How much stock do you put into those sort of comments? Which I guess that really dissipated when they did go on a bit of a losing streak after Wall was out. But initially, yeah, they were flying offensively. They were winning all these games. Was that a legitimate thing, or was that something that was blown out of proportion?
Definitely blown out of proportion. I mean, the Wizards did win their first 5 games without John Wall, but he's a 5-time All-Star. He creates easy shots for everyone. He's getting stops. He's setting people up in transition for wide-open threes. And especially when you're going against much tougher opponents in a playoff atmosphere, those half-court sets is really where you need playmakers. And if you only have Brad Beal, the only guy who can connect, you know, create his own shot for the Wizards, you're going to be in trouble. So obviously, you need to have John Wall. You need to have the facilitator. And I think the ball's going to continue to move because he's a very smart basketball player. He sees that when the ball is sticky and stays in his hands or Brad's hands, you know, you're not going to get a good shot at him versus, you know, making multiple passes like the Spurs do and the Warriors do. That's when you'll get those high percentage shots. So I really think it's blown out of proportion that anyone, if anyone thinks that the Wizards are a better team without John Wall, they clearly don't follow the Wizards and don't really know what they're talking about.
We could talk about Bradley Beal, who was a first-time All-Star this season, but I don't know what more there is to say about how well he's been playing. But what I do want to focus on is the big man situation, that the center rotation with Marcin Gortat having, you know, in my opinion, a considerably down year. Yan Mihinmi having his injury concerns, but recently playing some larger roles, some bigger minutes, and of course, there's the small ball lineup that they can go to with Markieff Morris there at center. How is this center rotation going to go? Are there going to be matchups in the playoffs? Say against, they do match up against Cleveland. How does Gortat stay on the floor against Kevin Love or Larry Nance?
He doesn't late in games. He's going to continue to start, but you're right. Gortat has definitely had his worst year in a long time for the Wizards, averaging just 8.5 points. He's still the leading rebounder at 7.6, but his defensive presence, like he hasn't evolved in the way that modern centers are in terms of their ball handling abilities, their quickness, and their ability to shoot threes. And we saw in last year's playoffs, Kelly Olynyk for the Celtics in Game 7 just totally torched Gortat and Mihinmi. Neither one of them were quick enough to stay out on the three-point line with guys who can shoot the three ball. And of course, they're decent rim protectors. Speaking honestly, John Wall's the best rim protector for the Wizards, which is saying a lot. But I think that Markieff Morris is the best option at center. And as a backup power forward, it would be Mike Scott coming off the bench, who's a great shot maker and very unselfish player too. So I think the best center for the Wizards is actually a lack of a center, and having Markieff Morris, who can stretch the floor and chase some of those more mobile big men around the three-point line. I think that's the best late-game lineup for the Wizards.
You talk about, you know, rim protection. Gortat averaged last season 0.9 blocks per 36 minutes, and this year he's only improved marginally at 1.0 blocks per 36, which is obviously a really, really subpar number of shot blocks. And rim protection is not all about blocking shots, but you would hope as a center who's there and, you know, doesn't have the mobility to really get out to the perimeter, that he's at least doing something and blocking more than one shot per 36 minutes. So he's well down in that area. Mihinmi has similar concerns. He's a couple of years younger than Gortat, but the knee injuries are an issue. But I agree with you, especially if that matchup does come to fruition against the Cavs, that, yeah, using Markieff Morris there and then playing more Kelly Oubre and Mike Scott with the starters is probably going to be a better situation. But of course, we don't know if that matchup's going to take place. But the focus now is getting John Wall back, making sure he's healthy, and getting him up to full speed before Game 1 occurs at in the middle of April. Noah, thank you for coming on. If people want to hear more about the Washington Wizards, they can go and check out Locked On Wizards. Noah, where can they find you on Twitter?
Absolutely. Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure to be on your podcast today. And just like Locked On NBA, Locked On Wizards is every Monday through Friday, daily news and analysis and Twitter poll analysis from our fans. And you can find us at Locked On Wizards, of course, LockedOnWizards.com. My personal Twitter account is Noah_Getzel, which is spelled GOETZEL. And on the Locked On Wizards podcast, we often have people from Wizards Extra, which I'm part of. I've been a beat reporter for the Wizards the past four seasons. And so we do a ton of pregame, postgame video interviews with players and coaches. We do in-game tweets and recaps and all sorts of stuff on top of that. So definitely check out Locked On Wizards and also Wizards Extra.
Cool. Thank you, Noah.
All right, so that was me, Noah Getzel, talking to Josh Lloyd on my first ever Locked On NBA podcast. So that was definitely an awesome opportunity. And that'll do it for today's Locked On Wizards show here on Dash Radio's Nothing But Net Network. We're going to be back all week long for more podcasts and Dash Radio shows. And the Wizards have a busy week. They are staying home to host the Spurs here on Tuesday night, and then they travel to Detroit Thursday. Knicks, Spurs, Pistons, Hornets, actually 5 games in 7 days. Yeesh. Good luck to those Wizards. So after Thursday's game in Auburn Hills, Detroit, the Wizards come back home on Saturday to face the Hornets, who they've lost to every game this season. Woo! And finally, they travel to Chicago to play the Bulls on Sunday, April 1st. So stay tuned in to Locked On Wizards. Again, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Wizards, and we'll be coming back soon. Once again, I'm Noah Getzel. Thanks so much for listening. I'm
taking it to Brooklyn side. All the residential questions to invade the air. Hold up a second, son, cause we almost there. You could be a black man and lose all your soul. You could be white and blue, but don't prep the road. See, my is universal if you got knowledge of Dolo or Del myself. See, there's no one else who could drop it on the angle. Acute at that. So who that, do that, do that, that, that.
Come on.
Who that, do that, do that, that, that. Yeah. Do that, do that, do that, that, that. I'm bugging out.